There are many Masses that are read today. In the Mass appointed for the Universal Church for the last Sunday after Pentecost, St. Paul expresses this wish, this prayer. We cease not to pray for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, increasing, St. Paul insists, in the knowledge of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the Latin, it is scientia Dei, literally the science of God that the Apostle wishes for us all today. At the beginning of this month, at the other St. Gertrude, our little mission in New Mexico, I was chatting with a man who had kindly driven all of the way from El Paso, Texas, to assist me in the solemn ceremonies of that morning. And, of course, we were talking about the church and religion. It's a professional hazard that a bishop has. And at some point, the man, I think, was going to venture an opinion, and he very humbly prefaced his remark. He was a humble man, by saying, "Well, now, of course, Your Excellency, my field is science." And I cut him right off there and I said, "My dear friend, if you're a scientist, he's an engineer by training, why then you are very well positioned to understand the truth of the traditional Catholic faith. Because it is not a matter of feeling or of sentiment. It is a matter of strict, objective, scientific fact and proof. The truths of the faith are just as true as H2O. And I said, imagine if you went about changing the formula for water, or if you didn't pay your taxes on time and your excuse to the IRS was, "Well, you see, I calculate time differently." Why, they would all take you for someone who was crazy, and of course they'd still put you in jail. Just as scientific truth is truth, and truth is one, so too is religious or theological truth. The Church, then, has ever favored studies so that we can know what and why we believe. Our patroness, they say, Gertrude the Great, was one of the most learned women of her own or of any age. She got her start as just a little girl, studying Latin, the sacred liturgy, the Psalms, the Scriptures. She knew the 150 Psalms of David by heart as a girl. Later on, she went into what's called the classical trivium, which is grammar and rhetoric and logic. And then she made progress in the study of the quadrivium, arithmetic, geometry, astronomy, and music and theology, of course, as well. The Church has ever favored knowledge. She is not content with vague concepts and sentimental or popular notions. St. Albert the Great, one of our patrons here in this archdiocese, is the patron saint of the study of the natural sciences, although he himself was a philosopher and a theologian as well. Some of the great popes, the last popes of the last century, Pius the 11th and Pius the 12th, very much encouraged the study of science and even certain priests to become scientists. This was back in the day in certain countries when there were more than enough priests, because the Pope said that by this means they would get greater glory for God and greater respect for the Church from the secular world by excelling in the natural sciences. My good friend Pete was telling me the other day about a scientist he once was privileged to meet. He was a physicist with a degree, actually a 2 doctorates, a degree from the University of Milan, and his doctoral thesis concerned the idea that there was a feeble but a discernible electromagnetic field emitted by any living tissue. And he had gone so far as to develop a little device called the galvanometer, I think, whose needle would move to indicate the presence of living tissue, something to do with electricity then, which is connected with life itself. Well, he had the thought that it might be possible from a scientific way to prove the real presence, transubstantiation. And somehow he got the word to the Pope. Pius XII was fascinated by subjects like this and invited him to the Vatican, and eventually they conducted an experiment. The doctor, Dotto is his name, Giovanni Dotto, and the Pope. There were 10 hosts in the experiment, done under conditions, of course, of the greatest reverence. And the Pope alone knew which were consecrated, 6 in number, and which were not. And indeed, when this little device was placed near the consecrated host, right after the words of the consecration, the needle moved. And for the other 4, there was nothing. To commemorate this event, the Pope had his picture taken with the physicist and with this machine in the middle, and it was published in the Osservatorio Romano, the official Vatican paper. Later, this doctor came to Dayton, Ohio, and he spent a number of years in the United States. Now, you might say that certainly would be a convenient machine to have today when so many Catholics don't have any idea, and many don't care, if the Mass they are going to is a valid Mass or not, especially if it's dressed up like a Latin Mass, which they do, of course, to deceive you. But we don't need a galvanometer to carry that around with me so that each one of us could determine. No, no. We have not only the faith itself, but we have science. We have science in the Catholic Church. Not the natural, but the supernatural, revealed or theological science, and the definition for both is the same. It is a branch of knowledge dealing with a body of truths, of facts, systematically arranged and showing the operation of general law. For the validity of the Blessed Sacrament, it is indeed, as with the other 6 sacraments, a matter of minister and of intention and of matter and of form. The same inflexible laws govern the validity, say, of a pope, of a mass, of another sacrament, of the consecration of a bishop, and so many other truths of our holy faith. It is not a matter of opinion or of conjecture, but of science and of strict study in the tradition of the greats, Gertrude the Great and Albert the Great and Saint Thomas Aquinas. Thank God that we have scientists, priests among us still today. Our own Father Cicada, Bishop Sanborn, 2 examples that come to mind. When the questions came up over the past 30, 40 years, they were not content to say, what does so-and-so who is in power, what does the current politics demand? No, no. What does the church teach? We will discover it by study. And then, regardless of who is pleased or displeased, we will publish joyfully God's scientific truth. That's why you should buy the book, Work of Human Hands. That's why you should read all of the many articles that we've printed and given out to you over the years, lest you too walk in darkness, in that morass of ignorance and superstition which passes in many quarters today for the traditional movement. At the very least, read or read over again those little pamphlets that are in the doorway, the vestibule, about the Pope, the question of authority, the Church, and the pamphlet about the Mass. If we have survived, and we seem to have, these 30 years, I don't kid myself. It's not because of the popularity of the positions that we have taken on the controverted issues of the day, because we have refused ever to pander to people's ideas, the popular ones, I mean. You'll never get canard deliberately served up here on a Sunday, I assure you. When something comes up, our interest is this: what does the Church teach? And our response is invariable: look it up. This is no way to be popular. We've done a scientific experiment or two over the years, and it's always been proven true. How have we survived then? How are we in a position to have such a beautiful 40 hours once again this year? It is because God, in His goodness, has given us Gertrude, St. Gertrude, so powerful a patroness with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. What draws people, what has always drawn them to St. Gertrude, to come for a Mass, for a year or two, or for a lifetime? It is the real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. What tells us our Lord is here? It is not only the preternaturally beautiful ceremonies in the arrangement of the Church and the rest, and that certain that you could never put into words. It is the theology. It is the science of the Catholic faith, the truth, the magisterium of the Church, which can neither deceive nor be deceived. But should that sanctuary lamp, as in the Novus Ordo, ever go out, why, then you know it is over and the roof has fallen in. I cannot resist concluding with that celebrated quotation from Cardinal Pacelli, who was to become Pius XII, prophetically, already in 1931, the future Pope proclaimed, "I am worried," he said, "by the Blessed Virgin's messages to Lucy of Fatima. This persistence of Mary about the dangers which menace the Church is a divine warning against the suicide of altering the faith in her liturgy, her theology, and her soul. A day will come," the cardinal said, "when the civilized world will deny its God, and when the Church will doubt, as Peter doubted, she will be tempted to believe that man has become God. In our churches, Christians will search in vain for the red lamp where God awaits them. Like Mary Magdalene, weeping before the empty tomb, they will ask, 'Where have they taken him?'" Very powerful words indeed. They will search in vain for a red lamp where God awaits them. Our galvanometer is God's science, sacred theology, the infallible magisterium of the Catholic Church. For 30 years, the red light has indicated that Jesus has stayed with us in the valid and licit offering of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. You too will be able to stay with us if, as St. Paul prays for you today, if only you are ever increasing in the knowledge of God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.